Good morning. How's everyone doing? So pat yourselves on the back for making it to an 8:30 session. These are always the challenging ones to get to. So I'm Sana Shahimi. I'm with Prevention Institute. I'm really sorry I have to present and run. I'm filling in for one of my colleagues that sadly couldn't be here due to a death in the family. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So I want to share some work that Prevention Institute, and we are a public health nonprofit. We're based in, headquartered in Oakland, California. We also have staff in Los Angeles, a staff person in Wisconsin, and I'm in Washington, D.C. And we are 17 years old, and we focus exclusively on advancing the practice and understanding of primary prevention. So what strategies and actions can be taken on a community level before people are sick and injured. So this is really looking at policy systems and environmental change, you know, at the community level. And we had the opportunity to actually work with APHA on looking at how to get local elected officials more involved as champions for prevention efforts in their communities. And the reason we thought it was so important to focus on local elected officials is as much as there's national attention to what is or isn't happening in D.C. and what Congress is or isn't doing, when we take a step back, we know that a lot of the public health practices and successes that we're all so proud of actually started locally, right? They started, you know, whether it was in a city or a county or a state, it's often local policy that bubbles up and inspires, you know, national or federal change. And particularly in times of, you know, deep partisanship, going back to the local level and figuring out how you can get local elected officials more engaged in public health and prevention efforts becomes a really important tactic. So the concept that we were interested in you know, finding out about in terms of their interests was this notion of, you know, prevention. So when we talk about prevention, we're not talking about individual, you know, one-on-one efforts. We're talking about community efforts. We're talking about comprehensive, sustainable efforts. And we're talking about efforts that fundamentally change norms. So we were able to reach out and speak to local elected officials from across the country. You know, these were mayors, city council members, school board members that were elected, tribal members, and really ask them, you know, what motivated their involvement in their community's prevention efforts. And so I'm going to share what we heard from them, the kind of messaging tactics that they recommend to reach out to other local elected officials, and then a little bit about ways to reach them. One of the key things that our local elected officials that we spoke to said was that local constituencies really matter to them. And a lot of them ended up, you know, weren't necessarily, so these were not necessarily individuals who came into their elected positions with a passion for public health and prevention. Some of them definitely were, like, they had that orientation. But some of them definitely weren't. They, you know, not because they weren't interested in it, but because that's not necessarily what their background was or what they already knew about. And for them, you know, what brought them on board was their vocal constituents who were, you know,
talking to them about, you know, the importance in engaging in efforts that were going to improve the health of the community. And they said, so it's really important, you know, as advocates or practitioners that are trying to get the attention of elected officials to figure out, well, who are those constituencies that are going to matter? And what are opportunities to get them engaged and involved? They also brought up this notion that they really liked that prevention and public health efforts are part of creating a culture of change. You know, they really like the notion of being able to say that, you know, these are like the fundamental shifts that we have been able to see in our communities as a result of the prevention efforts. And that's highlighted in these two quotes. I'm going to come back to these two individuals. Mick Cornett is the mayor of Oklahoma City, and he is a Democrat. And Chip Johnson is the mayor of Hernando, Mississippi, and he happens to be a Republican. So, you know, already you can see that there is not nearly as much partisanship around public health and prevention on the local level as there appears to be on the national level. And we'll have further evidence of that in a moment. When we asked the local electeds that we, you know, that we talked to, you know, how to engage their colleagues and, you know, in other areas, they said that, you know, that some of the things to highlight is this notion of leading by example, and that local elected officials can really be the ones that walk the talk of community health and create the conditions that allow community residents to be healthy. So they like to be in that position. That is a way to kind of leverage their strength and their power. Also, local elected officials can kind of be the glue that helps form multi-sector partnerships. Often they're able to get the business community involved, or, you know, reach out across different stakeholder groups and pull them together. And, you know, all local elected officials, you know, belong to different associations. You know, they have different opportunities to interact with their peers, and they can really serve as the ambassadors for community prevention efforts and can bring other local elected officials on board. So what messages can we use when we're communicating the importance of prevention to local elected officials? Like what are the frames that stand out? And what I want to do is take, you know, a quick step back. At Prevention Institute, we spend a lot of time thinking about how to talk about public health and prevention to diverse audiences, you know, and how to craft a message that is going to appeal to different audiences. And some of the key tactics that we use are on this slide. You know, we have a tendency in public health to get really bogged down in the details of what the problem is. We have lots of statistics. We can cite, you know, percentages. We have a tendency to spend, you know, if we're given airtime, to spend most of that time describing the problem, which is important, but what it also does is it rarely gives us enough time to talk about the solution. And that's, you know, that's really, really important. So at Prevention Institute, when we talk about the work that we do, we cue the environment first, which means, you know, if we're talking about the need for healthy food and activity environments. Well, you know, we might start by saying, you know, in this particular community, there isn't access to grocery stores or other food retail options that sell healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate food. We're describing the environment. And then we would immediately shift to focus on, you know, the solution. It might be a farmer's market. It might be, you know, double up bucks at a farmer's market, whatever our solution is. But we emphasize clear values. You know, those values could be equity. They could be kind of ingenuity. You know, we know that this particular county that looks very much like your county was able to do it. There's all sorts of values that we can root our messaging in that really, really appeals to people. We also make sure that we're emphasizing co-benefits. You know, that kind of gets us around the nanny state or government overreach opposition frame. So we might emphasize the co-benefits to business when a community is healthy and thriving, you know, how it's going to impact their bottom line when their workers are healthier, how it's beneficial for their employees when, you know, their workers' children are in schools that serve them healthy meals, et cetera. So these are, you know, some of the tips, and they were also emphasized by our local elected officials. This is, you know, the kind of messaging recipe that we use. So in terms of how to talk about public health and community prevention, these are some of the key messages that really appealed to local elected officials. You know, this notion of these being investments that both save lives but also money. You know, the notion that when you invest in infrastructure in a community that allows residents to eat healthy, to be physically active, you are going to, you know, prevent avoidable cases of type 2 diabetes, which is going to have, you know, tremendous impacts on a local economy in the long term. You know, the notion that it fundamentally does make economic sense. There is a return on investment when you prevent people from getting sick and injured in the first place rather than waiting until after the fact to come in with more, you know, expensive and costly treatment. Particularly for local elected officials, rooting this in local solutions. You know, this is not about one size fit all that you have to do things this particular way. You can tailor what you're focusing on to fit your local context. You know, it's not about big government telling your community what to do. It's about your community coming together and coming up with solutions to address its own problems and needs. Emphasizing the value of collaboration and partnership, who you can bring around the table with a community health and community prevention message, which is an incredibly unifying message, and that it addresses multiple community priorities. You know, health is something that impacts education, it impacts safety, it impacts the economy. You know, this is, in many ways, it reaches out and it has multiple benefits. We have so much data around, you know, chronic disease and the costs related to chronic disease on a national level, on a statewide level, on a local level. You know, individual employers now have more and more data at their fingertips where they could actually, you know, say, like, they could, you know, chart the spike in their healthcare costs as the chronic disease epidemic has increased. There's similar data out there around violence and safety. So, you know, we can really rely on this data to make the economic economic case. I just wanted to read this quote from Mayor Chip Johnson, again, Hernando, Mississippi, who says, if people in our community are ready to be healthy and want to go run at the track or walk on the sidewalk, but don't have the infrastructure, we have not made it accessible. The role of the city is to make health accessible. So he's really taken on this message. The notion that prevention is good for business is one that's, you know, incredibly popular. More and more businesses are deciding where to locate based on the health status of that region. So Oklahoma City's mayor, Mick Cornett, you know, says it very well when he says, well, no business would want to locate in a community with bad health. They'd wonder about absenteeism rates and healthcare costs, but if we're truly going to be a job creator and are looking to keep healthcare costs down, you have to be a community where health is a priority. This is the, we don't have to read all this, when I brought up the two mayors, you know, 2 years ago, they had this wonderful op-ed that they wrote together in a roll call, and I'll just read part of it. It has been said that politics makes strange bedfellows, and our unlikely pairing may be Exhibit A. The Republican mayor of Hernando, Mississippi, and the Democratic mayor of Wyandotte County, Kansas. We both found that investing in health and prevention not only helps our friends and neighbors' quality of life, it also gives our limited budgets the most bang for their buck. So again, at the local level, there is, you know, great understanding that prevention and health aren't partisan issues. And it's, I think that, you know, it's important for us to help cultivate more of these champions, because I think our nationally elected officials could stand to learn from them a little bit. So I brought this up, you know, the notion of prevention being about local solutions. And, you know, that's something that we heard over and over again. I really like this particular quote, you know, saying that the job of an elected official is not about getting reelected again. He did say that once he was out of office. I do have to point that out. It's helping to translate policies in a way that residents can see how it affects their everyday life. So very locally grounded. This particular locally elected official, you know, talked about the triple bottom line of health and prevention. Again, the multiple community priorities. And again, this notion of how incredibly powerful and unifying a prevention and health message can be. And that in certain cases, it can be what gets different agencies and departments that may be fighting about other issues around the table, because they can all see, you know, how they have a stake in working on this together, and then it can kind of help smooth out the other tensions that that they may have had. And we heard that a lot. Or bringing businesses, you know, that have been in competition. So I am going to speed up. So the great thing about our local elected officials is that they tend to be, on the whole of it, you know, easier to reach perhaps than our nationally elected officials. So really taking the time to visit them, to contact them, to build relationships with their staffers, to reach them through the press. If they've done, you know, if they've done something good, you know, write an op-ed about what, you know, how important it is that they made this particular policy decision or that particular proclamation. I'm going to skip. Okay, I'm going to talk very, very quickly about social media. Everyone we spoke to was on social media. A lot of them, it was actually the local elected official themselves. For some of them, it was their staff. But they talked about how important social media, particularly Twitter, was for them as a way of staying engaged with their constituents. So following local elected officials on social media and reaching them through their social media channels is actually I was surprised at how effective they said that was. So we have a brief that we put together that is on our website that collects all the information I just shared, and it is available free of charge. And we also have toolkits, also available free of charge, on media and communications. And that is my information. Do we have time for one question, maybe a few questions, if anyone has them, before I run out the room? Otherwise, please feel free to contact me.
I'm working in smoke-free housing, specifically with community members engaging elected officials. We're just starting out, and so I'm curious to know your recommendations to kind of get that interaction between the property owners, property managers, property management companies to engage elected officials on smoke-free apartment policy change.
And are the property owners, are they on board? Like, what's their stance?
Well, they're on our task force.
Okay, so they're
wanting. We've developed a task force to develop the program, and now the program is in its third year, and we're trying to move it to policy change. So, your recommendations? Are we on the right track?
Yeah, I mean, definitely if you already have property owners as part of your task force, I mean, you have, you know, could otherwise be the most vocal opposition involved. So I think it would make sense, first of all, you know, make sure that you've done your research in terms of where the elected official may stand on the issues, or like kind of like what angle, you know, what interests them? Is it the health angle? If you know that it's someone that really cares about health, then you can go in. You know, I would bring the property owners. You know, we'd do a joint meeting or invite them to one of your meetings. Make sure that there are property owners there, that there are residents there, that you kind of have like who's going to be impacted, so that they can hear directly from property owners about it, why it's good for them to not have to, you know, because it's expensive for property owners to have to clean out, you know, apartments that have been smoked it. Like they have an economic bottom line, and figure out, you know, based on the interest, whether it's an economic interest or a health interest, like which message you want to lead with. You know, if it's the economic message, I would still then follow up with, and this is also going to have tremendous, you know, health impacts. But, you know, arranging a joint meeting where you have all of the stakeholders letting the local elected official know, so that they know, if they know that there's energy and enthusiasm behind it, it's going to really pique their interest. And then be prepared with other, you know, cities or counties that are like yours, that have done this or are considering this, you know, that friendly competition of, you know, well, this place did it, and, you know, and so can we, is also something that works. So my email address is up here. Please feel free to get in touch, and I'm really sorry about having to run.
No worries. Let's give her a round of applause.